Yep, that's not gonna work.
Joining the Zoom today. Maybe everyone's in person. That'll be fine if no one's on the Zoom, right? Yes, so let's see if he joins the Zoom. Where's Noah? He's what? I'm sorry. Okay, tell him I wish you were pushed later. All right, well, let's see who joins us. You know, the Torah is Munachas Bekeren Zoom, Kolorot Zolito, Yavo Vito. Sorry, I'm not holding the song, so I apologize. Okay. Hey, Rabosa, you ready? One second, let me get a bar. Okay, Simon Sadi Ted, Rabosa. The first... they say that depends if you count the bones or not. Because if you notice, a zroa, an arm, I'm sure for you it's also, an arm is proportionally has more bones in it than the rest of your body. Right? The arm is more percentage bone than the rest of your body. Consider the inside of your body, right? Not so many bones here, just the rib cage and the spinal column, etc. While your arm is mostly a big bone in the middle. So, what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says very partial. To that, if you count bones, then you get to 1/60. The arm is a 1/60 of the item. But if you don't count bones, then you get to 1/100. Ah, we paskin bitul shishim. Therefore, we paskin you count bones. The problem is mefurshet orla, that the peels and the shells and all the non-edible parts do not count as Isser. So we have a stira. So we have two or three shitas how to deal with this. The two main shitas, meaning the two shitas that make logical sense, are, we could call them the Ran and the Rashba, if we want. Right? So here we have Orla. And shells. Okay, you get the obvious stira. And the orla and the rush, the rashba, also rashba, right? The rashba shots. And the rush, they say that really bones don't count. Oh, what about the fact that we counted the bones to get to a 60th? That wasn't a real lima. That was an asmachta mi'alma. Chazal got a 60th from just estimating what's a rule of thumb for decedent's time. They wanted to find some hint to it in the Torah. So they found a hint. They figure if you count the bones, then you'll get a hint from the ayil. But this is just an asmachta mi'alma. It doesn't mean we really pass in anything without counting the bones. Really, of course the bones aren't treif. Right? Of course the bones aren't treif. That's just an asmachta. That's the shita of the Rosh and the Rosh. However, the Ran says, and the Ra, the Shach goes from the Ra. I don't think yes. Whether we count them as treif. Whether we count them as treif. Good question. Whether we count them as treif. Right, so the treif bones. Right.
Would it not imply the other machlokes as well?
What?
Would it not imply the other machlokes as well?
I don't know what you mean by that.
Presumably,
you could go either way, but you could theoretically go a different way, but. If we look here for a moment, what do we see there? In the Yerushalmi, Klipe Isser, Mahalimisa Isser. Okay, the Yerushalmi, early, even the Klipe Isser, Mahalin Es Isser. So that would mean that let me say this better. Trade pills and shells count as kosher, right? And here the treif bones counted as treif. That was an asmachta b'alma. Okay, what does the Ran say? The Ran says no. We're talking about two different things. They're not quite so. Fresh meat, they have marrow inside. Besides that, he said, they have lachluchis, they have taste, they have moisture inside, says the Ran. He says, treif atzamos rakos count as treif. We can write in English. Treif soft bones. Now, what do you mean by soft? I don't like the word soft because he's talking about the arm bone of a ram. The arm bone of a ram is not so soft. What he really means is like fresh and moist. As opposed to what he says, treif, dry bones and peels and shells. That's something that dry bones, peels, and shells, they count as kosher. Okay, that's the answer to the stira. It depends. If they're dry like walnut shells, then they count as kosher. But if they're fresh bones, even very, very strong ones, they're fresh. He doesn't mean soft like chicken bones that you can bend. He means like fresh, right? As opposed to dry. Not soft as opposed to hard. Soft as opposed to dry. Right. So in which case, then, what's the third opinion? Besides what? An obscure opinion, quoted in Rani Ruchman. Third opinion is the Or Zeruah, at least some people quote from the Or Zeruah, right? That Goshari Dura quotes the Or Zeruah. What does he say? So treif bones count as kosher. Treif bones count as treif. Then there's this third sheet that is the Or Zeruah, at least when sometimes he's quoted. He says, no, this is not really going to come terribly out of the Gemara. One marker of the Gemara says treif bones count as treif. The other marker of the Gemara says treif peels and shells count as kosher. Somehow he gets in the middle. Treif bones count as neither. Neither kosher nor treif. Okay, that does not really come out of any of the Makoros. And it doesn't really make sense. Why doesn't it make sense? Because if you're going to say, you could say bones just don't count, but then even kosher bones shouldn't count as either, right? If kosher bones count as kosher, then what's the svara? The svara is, what's the svara? For each of the three shitas, the svar for the ram is easy. Is that bones have taste? They have very weak taste, but they have taste, right? And are treif. Okay, very posh. Treif bones are treif. If they have taste, then they count as treif. What's the svar for the orzara? So that our Moshe and everyone else says min hag bi alma. And Medina, he's masking to the Rashba. Really, treif bones should count towards the bones as kosher. It doesn't seem right, so we don't count them at all. And what's the svara of the Rashba here? The Pimgadim, by the way, has a big chakira. It's a long chakira, the first Pimgadim, I think, Mishnah Zod, maybe. That's exactly what the svara of the Rashba is. The simple shot, I think, is that but they absorb taste. I think that's the simplest shot. It's too studied in the Pirgadim. Meaning bones have no taste, so they're not treif. Treif bones can't really be treif because they have no taste. However, they absorb taste. So therefore the treif bones count as kosher. How do they count as kosher? Because they absorb in 1 ounce of treif meat and 59 ounces of kosher and 1 ounce of treif bones. The taste, treif meat taste goes into the kosher and into the treif bones, and it all gets diluted. And so it's meaning a sponge also would succeed in, you know, a sponge too would be saturated, but anything you throw in would succeed in diluting the taste of diluted taste. This, by the way, is a very subtle chakira. Got this question? No, whatever absorbs the non-kosher taste helps to dilute it out, right? No, again, let's say you have 1 ounce of non-kosher meat and no bones and 59 ounces of kosher. That ounce will be divided by 59 and will be tasteable. But let's say I add an ounce of treif bone. Now, that ounce will divide among the bone and the kosher food and will divide among 60 and will be so diluted that you won't be able to taste it. You know. No, but they absorb less than a 60th this year. So that's not a problem.
We have this, you said it's forbidden in the bone. I mean, usually we say 60th, they'll spread out in the bone. But here we know for sure it's pulling out the bone and not spreading.
I mean, can I chew on the bone? Because in this bone, since the bone has no taste of its own, it has one part treif taste, 59 parts kosher taste. So maybe within this bone, I'm going to taste the treif if I chew on it, is what you're saying. Could be that you shouldn't. Could be. Yeah, sure.
Sorry,
competing type of taste. Give me a vatal of taste. So he said, maybe the point. does that. You don't need a competing taste about taste. It also serves dilute the taste. And then he asks, why doesn't the why doesn't the actual pot you're cooking in dilute the taste? So he says, either because it's not submerged, totally submerged in your cholent, or because it's already full from the last time you cooked. Okay, that's a two deus. He quotes one from the Pre-Toar, which is the Orchaim HaKadosh, and one from the Prisha. He has another side. His other side is that, no, the only way to dilute a treif taste is by a competing taste. Then he has to make a finish. Treif bones have taste, but that taste is kosher. That they have enough taste to overwhelm the treif taste, but that taste is still not so strong the Torah asked it. That's a big finish. The treif bones have a taste, but the Torah didn't. So they have no taste for the Torah didn't ask them. It's not so strong. Maybe it's not believing they have taste, but they're not the Neophilos, so the Torah never asked for them. Fair enough. That's good. That's a better formulation, maybe. Okay, so the answer, really, if you ask, just to summarize, why the bones aliba de The treif bones count as heter. For sure, the kosher bones count as heter. This is the mechaber. That's what Sfarda and Paskin. The treif bones count towards the heter. Obviously, kosher bones count towards the heter. Obviously, the marrow inside them, the marrow is just rather the meat that happens to be inside a bone. That obviously counts as Isser. The gufak dir aimus or ifl omisul or heter, the pot doesn't count towards anything. Doesn't count towards either number. Had the ramav, yeshmach mir, shul a tsarif asmosa Isser, meheter levatel. Yeshmach mir, is this or Zerua? That's the ramah. And the ramah adds, and welcome, hefsid, yeshmach makilim, matir and kichin ikr. The ramah agrees this is ikr. In Makom Hefsid, he admits the Rashba's Iker, but Shalom Makom Hefsid, he says, we don't count them either way. And there is a third opinion, the Shach, and the Gra, and the others, the Shach, has got an Aleph Paskins. Well, Afiani is Daiti, he thinks what makes the most sense is like the Ra'ah and the Ran. That the treif bones have taste, and as long as they're moist, they're mitzarif to the iser. Okay, this is the opinion of the Shach. Why? He says he thinks that makes most sense in Shas, not to the authority of the Ran of the Ra'ah. He thinks that most of my, okay, keep saying the Shach. I guess we can. Okay. How do we paskin? If you look in the Gilead Marsha quotes in the Prima Gadim right here, you can look at the Prima Gadim also. Over Prima Gadim ain't Osir, over Hefsim Ruba ain't Osir and Prima Gadim. Okay, what do we paskin? We paskin, that's only if there's no Hefsim Ruba. So what do we paskin? Lamaisa, what do we say? If there's no Hefsim Ruba, we count the bones of treif as treif. If there is, Hefson Maruba, then we count the bones as kosher. Okay, that's all for the mice. Yes, Benny. Here we're talking about moist bones. If they're all dry bones, then it's possible they count as heter. Then we're talking about moist bones. Okay, there's a famous question the Shachem Taz deal with here. Why don't we say Isser Davok? After all, if the treif meat is stuck to the treif bones, then the treif bones should become Kanan and be Isser Davok. And the answer is no, because, again, the Ikra Din, according to the Mechaber, if there's Hefson Ruba, because we assume the bones aren't really food. They're just a kli. And we know that a kli itself cannot become Hanan unless the kli charis is not a kli charis, and therefore we don't say it's your double fine. Base. Sif base. Bamed varma murim. Sha'at was a superstar from a hetrich enough for his little milk. There's hetrich she chaya. Chaya, obviously meaning not alive, but raw. When you drop a raw piece of treif meat with bones into your kedera by accident, avolim nisbash letchiler chacher nafle kedera hetter atzvushol and start fin im ha'isol if you shall bolim start nevela shvash lebada. But if you cook the nevela first and then accidentally drop it into a stew, then everyone agrees that me'ikra din the treif bones count as treif. Why? Not because they count as treif, because they absorb the taste of the treif meat. If you think about it, what happens? What is it basil about? Sif Beis is saying that let's say you start out with, 5 ounce basar iser and 1 ounce of atmos iser. Not atmos, but let's say etzim. Right? That's the same problem. Okay. Now, what happens when you cook it? Anyone ever cook meat? What happens when you cook meat? It gets smaller. It gets smaller. So after you cooked it, what do you end up with? You end up with 4 ounces of Bisar Isser and 1 ounce of Atmos Isser. Unless you cook it in some particle accelerator kind of thing, the bones are not going to get smaller, but the meat will get smaller. So what's the problem? The problem is, where did that other 1 ounce of taste go? You never know. But it might have gone into the bones. Same as when you cook something in a pot, you see the taste might have gone into the pot. The taste might have gone into the bones. And therefore, this for sure counts as 5 ounces of Isser. Not because of the bones. Because the taste of the meat might have gone into the bones. Okay. That is, that's just hush. Gimel. In other Isurim, not Bas B'chalav, then even a piece that's a bli of Isur counts me Batal the Isur. Aliba did smart. What do we mean? We mean like this. Sif Gimel, let's say I have, what do I have? I have 58 ounces of Heter. And then I have a combination of a 2 ounce Tichas Heter that previously absorbed 1 ounce of Isser. Right, let's say 15 ounces, baby. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's Logar from clay etzem, right? It's Logar from a spoon. Spoon absorbs, right? Let's say I had a spoon made of a bone and I stirred the meat with it, and that spoon would count the strafe now. Right? Okay, so I have a 2 ounce, I have 15 ounces of vegetable soup in folds, a piece of meat that is 2 ounce piece of meat that absorbed 1 ounce of chelev. So says the Mechaber, I have 60 ounces of heter, even the piece of meat that absorbed the chelev. Right? So what if you are Sfardi? Then you have the ratio of 60 to 1, right? Ratio of 60 to 1, because there's no Hanan Mishar Surah, that piece is mutter. What's debatable is, which is hinted at in the, not hinted at, discussed in the Shach here, what's debatable, it's a whole simon debating later, is, does that piece of meat become mutter again? Like, does all the chelev leave and become mutter again or not? But it doesn't matter. Either way, it's 60 to 1 ratio. However, that's obviously for Sfardim. What would Ashkenazim say? Ashkenazim say that it's not a 61 ratio. It's a 58-2 ratio. Or the 3 ratio, if the piece of, it depends if the piece of meat got puffed up by the chiluf or not. Right? Meaning, if the 2-ounce piece of meat absorbed 1 ounce of chiluf and stayed 2 ounces, of 58-2. If it absorbed 1 ounce of chiluf and expanded, it came 3 ounces, of 58-3. Right? So, okay, 2 or 58-3, depending on if this 2 ounce chatichas heter is still 2 ounces or got to be 3 ounces, which is not important. The point is, chana, as the Rama says, ve'ino yikain, ki karmel and kol yishorin chatichas asmanas deveva, ki de'el, etc. Okay, that's pretty straightforward. Let's go to Dalet. Misharin, what counts towards the 60 of heter? Berotev, the broth, counts, meaning you have a chaticha of treif that falls in. What do you count towards the 60 of heter? Basically, you count everything inside the pot, the broth. Uvekipa, the little tiny pieces that are sunk to the bottom, right? As the parentheses say. Uvechatichos, and all the pieces of meat that are in the stew. Meaning everything in your pot, whether it's liquid or solid, counts towards the 60. Umesharin a heter isher shabolfanin, and you measure the heter and isher as you see them. Even though the heter used to be bigger and it got smaller when you cooked it, nonetheless, you count it as a nivla b'kedera. Why did it get smaller? When you cook heter, why would it get smaller? Meaning, don't tell me because the meat got smaller and turned into gravy, because we're counting meat and the gravy, right? We're talking about a soup or a stew. If you keep a lid on it, why would it get smaller? The only reason it gets smaller is because some of it got absorbed into the cheres of the pot. If you didn't keep a lid on it, why would it get smaller? Because of evaporation. Okay, we're not there yet. This is true of meaning you count what's absorbed in the pot as part of the heter. The answer is mimshein amino, no, and mimshein yes. Why? Because it's a suffix. Someone dar right says rachman dar abundance were mako. Right? Whose pshara was this? Who remembers which Risho made this pshara? Good. We also count what's inside the walls of the pot. And we measure it with a good estimation. And we see as if it's still there. Aval, that's what would get absorbed in the pot. But remember, I said that's if your food is covered. What if your food is uncovered? Then much will be lost to evaporation. Aval masha kolav oven machmas or whatever disappeared because of the fire. That's not mitzdarif because that's gone. Okay, now. To understand this, we have to go to Gemara in Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis. Okay, there are two lashonos in Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis as to what counts. Someone tell me the two lashonos in the language of the Gemara. Isaac?
Yeah.
Exactly. Do we measure the Kedera Atzma or B'masha Bala Kedera? Right, those are the two lashonos. Kama is the Kedera Atzma. And what's the Lishna Basra? The Lishna Basra is Bimasha Balak Deira. Now, which of these Lishonos has two different ways of being Mepharshit? Right, what is Lishna Basra is very clear. Whatever's absorbed in the Kedera still counts towards the Heter. What is Lishna Kama? What are the two ways of reading Lishna Kama? Let's call them Rashi's way and Rashba's way. Exactly. That's probably the simplest shot. I mean, who am I saying the simplest shot? But what looks like the simplest shot is the Kedera means the pot itself, right? So, says Rashi, the pot itself counts against what we read in the end of Sif Aleph. What do we read in the end of Sif Aleph? The pot itself doesn't count. Why doesn't it count? Remember, it's three chotim. Why doesn't it count if treif bones count? If bones count, why does pottery not count? Remember, three pshatim. First pshat was, bones have taste. even though surprisingly they're kosher, even if they're from a pig. And pots don't, pottery doesn't have taste. Second shot, the bones are submerged inside. The pottery's not submerged inside. Third shot, the bones are not yet saturated. The pottery's already saturated. Right, remember those three shots? So the pot itself counts against Sif Aleph. Ben, I apologize I kept losing you. I switched to a hotspot, so I won't lose you again. Anyway, what is the Rav? It means, though? It means, what's the problem? The problem is that Kedera in Shas can mean two things. Sometimes Kedera means the pot, and sometimes Kedera means the stew. Right? So, it means only the N food. Right? Only the Kedera Atzma. So is it more Machber or more Mekel? Rashi says more Mekel, and the Rashba says more Machber. So in order of Chomer to Kula, right, from, or let's say Kula, to Chomra, the most Mekel is Rashi's Lishna Kama. You even count the pot itself towards the Shisha and Heter. The middle is the Lishna Masra. Everyone agrees? Right? No, you don't count the pot itself, but you count the Heter, the Nifla, and the pot. The most Machber is the Rashba's Lishna Kama. You only count the food. You don't even count what's absorbed in the pot. Okay. Which of these Lashonos do we Paskin like? So, to the best of my knowledge, no one Paskins like Rashi's Lishna Kama. Rashi says, well, we don't Paskin like the Lishna Kama because we're Machmir. But which way does Rashi Paskin? Well, doesn't give you a lot of options. Rashi Paskins, what's the Psak? Rashi. And who else Paskins like the Lishna Basu, your Rishar Mashabala Kedera? The Rambam. Rashi, the Rambam, Paskin, Mashabala Kedera. The Rashba quotes a Yesh Omrim, who says, no, we have to be Machmir. Now, some came over me and say, he says, how do we know, right, the Achrona make things up? Was the Rambam held like Rashi and was Machmir like the Lishna Basra, or held like the Rashba was making like the Lishna Basra? The answer is, I have no idea. All I know is he Paskin like the Lishna Basra. Right? Every Achron can assume whatever they want. But I don't know Paskin like the Shabbasra. I don't know anyone who Paskin that the pot itself counts, to the best of my knowledge. No one who's we've read on these pages. And the Yesh Omrim. Paskins, that only the food itself counts, not Mashabal Akhtera. They Paskin Luchumra like Lishna Kama. Yeah. Yeah, so that's not necessarily going to help us. And also, you know, you're making assumptions. Your assumption might not be crazy if you put together things I'm not sure you can put together, but apparently it's known explicitly, right? Rashi never explicitly said, I'm going to be chalik between things. You could get there, but for Rashi, Dav gets less likely. Highly unlikely. Okay. Now, there's another mess here. The other mess here is based on the Gemara and Dav Tzedi Chesam Aleph, which asks the following question. Hold on a second. Let's say I now measure. You know what I get? I now measure, I get a 1 to 59 ratio. But if I add the heter that's absorbed in the pot, then I get 1 to 60. Is that a good reason to be mako? What is the Gordon Sadi Chesam and Aleph? What monkey wrench does it throw in? Right, hold on a second. Just like some of the heter went into the pot, some of the Isra also went into the pot. So I break even. Right. If I'm going to add some for the heter in the pot, I have to add some for the issue in the pot, and I'm back to square one. Right? So here is where it gets a little tricky. Rashi takes that into account, right? If you read Rashi's Lashon carefully, meaning B'masha Balak Deira is a big problem. B'masha Balak Deira is a big problem. What's the problem? The question is, not my question. The Gemara in Daf Tzadi Ches asked this question. It's a logical question. You should ask this question even then, the Gemara in Daf Tzadi Ches. Right, what's the lashon of the Gemara in Daf Tzadi Ches? Savor Vasi the Shiur my debala dekla Amri le Rabbanu Rashi alter that Tera bala di sura lo pala. Question is it Isser also absorbed in the Kedera? And therefore, here we have machlokas in Rashi and an alleged Rambam. What does Rosh Rashi say? So you know what Rashi says already inside his end of the day. Rashi says, you know what? Really, because of this question, it's not really a good heter anyway. Right? What does Rashi say inside the end of the day? He says, the Ikar Adavar Kamosha Balafanim Masharim Levi Lo Masharim Malu Balakadira. Even though he just passed the Masharim Masharim Balakadira, he says, but Lamaisa, we're not Masharim Masharim Balakadira. Why? Lefisha Afan Answer Nivla, like it says later on. Right? Because you can't add the Heteris in the Kadira, because then you have to add the Isis in the Kadira, and then you have to say proportionally the same amount, and then you get to the exact same answer. Right? If you're 59 to 1, then you have to add a 59 to 1, one ratio Nivla in the Kadira, and you're still 59 to 1. So what did Rashi mean when he passed like Lishda Basra? So he said explicitly, if you read it, his Lashon is very clear. Says Rashi, we'll call this, go from Kumar to Kula, 2.1. Rashi, he's pretty explicit about this. He says, you can only be Mishar Heter Mai Debala Kedera if you know the size of the Isser when it fell in, and the size of the Heter, the size of the Isser before cooking, and the size of the Heter after cooking. Then, if the Isser before you cooked it was 1, and the Heter after you cooked it was 59, you could say, well, let me add the Heter that got absorbed in the pot, make 60. I don't have to add anything to the Isser, because I know what the Isser was when it fell in. It says, you can only be Mishaer Bima Shebala Kedera if you know size of the Isser before it cooked and size of the Heter after it cooked. You know that, let's take an example. You know 1 ounce of chalev fell into your stew. How do you know? Because there was an ounce cup of chalev. And you know some poured in your stew. Now you measure the stew, and you know what? It's exactly 60.5. So that's a 1 to 59.5 ratio. That's no good. But you say, Mastama, there's some heter absorbed in the... So really, it's 61. And then you're allowed to add heter because, say, really, the 61 total. That's 60 to 1. That's what Rashi says. It's only logical Mishan Rashi Balakadera if you're comparing apples and oranges. You know what the heter is now. You know what the Isser used to be. Or there's a chaticha of Isser. You know that chaticha of Isser when it fell in was 1. You take it out, you don't measure it when you take it out. It doesn't matter how much it is when you take it out. You know when it fell in was 1. What's left now 59.6. Say, well, there's another 0.4 in the Kedera, there's really 60 left. Okay, that's what Rashi says. In which case, it's not a very useful kula, which is what he says. It's never going to work to fi cheshbon, because think about it. Let's say you know it's 1 to 59 now. See, but it used to be 60 to 1 and a 60th. It's still going to be 1 to 59.
Yeah, well, let's say like I know that 0.001 is the law of Isser, and I know there's definitely shishin time 0.001 of Isser in the walls. So can you...
No, but you have to add the Isser in the walls to the Isser. That's the end. Add the Isser in the walls to the Isser that's not in the walls, and it's not going to help you. Okay. Pashas, that's what the Rambam meant also, because that's logical. However, the Rambam, Lacha Mishnah says that's what the Rambam also meant. However, the Rambam, Lefi the Beis Yom Seif, or if you're opening up a Rambam, say Rambam Lefi Kesef Mishnah, he says, nope. He says, in all cases, you are Mishaer. And he doesn't explain how to answer this question of, but wasn't there also Isser in the Kedera, just like there's Heter in the Kedera, and how does that help? Okay, the Rambam didn't answer that question. Okay, how would the Rambam answer this question? I actually have no idea. I can make up a lot of dachuk things, but I don't know. My personal prejudice is that I think Beis Yosef is just wrong, and the Lecha Mishnah is right, and the Rambam meant like Rashi. But I can't prove it. You know, who am I to argue with Yosef? So I don't know. Somehow the Rambam had an answer. How does it help you a sharp mashu bola kedera if the kedera is also a bolea isser? Somehow you know how to be mishayer that in this case it was bolea more heter than isser. You know how to be mishayer how much heter is bolea, how much isser is bolea. You know a lot of science, and you somehow work it out. What? No, Rashi does forget the day of the Gemara. He makes no kin to the day of the Gemara. Right? Anyway, halacha lemaisa, what does the Rashba do? The Rashba does a compromise. What's his compromise? What's his compromise? His compromise is, well, depends who you ask, right? What's the compromise of the Rashba? So says the Beis Yosef, the Shachet Taz, the mainstream Yishonim, he says in Lefi, the Beis Yosef, the Machaber, equals Machaber, right? The Shach and the Taz, he says, in Mid Mishaino Mino, we're Makra like Rashi. In Mid Vimino, we're Maker like the Rambam. You're a Sharp Mandabala Kedera. That's what the Shach and the Taz and the Beis Yosef assume. Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Gra have a connection. They say it can't be because no one's going to like that Rambam because there's no such Shita because the Shita doesn't make sense. And so, according to the Gra and Rabbi Kiva Eger, right on the page, they say no. They say in Min Mishanino Mino, we hold like the Yerushalmim. And the Min Bimino, we hold like Rashi. Okay, so it's not so clear even what the Rashba meant. When he is Daiti, I tell, I'm prejudiced against the Beis Yosef Shach and the Rambam here. I like the Gra, I like the Rukiv Eger, even though they're against the Beis Yosef and the Shach and the Taz. I mean, that's pretty formidable opponents. But that's what Rukiv Eger says, and the Gra here said, the Dura Yosef Nerda Rashba might be, the Lo Reino Echza Isser B'tchila, Umishim Hachi, etc., etc. The Ulam nearly now Nias literally the Daiti Aklusha Lo Mudiru Rashba. The Blurian is like no. He says in the case where in a Stam case of no one would be Mako, not Ben Mino Shaino Mino. All he meant that if you know what the Isser was originally, what the Heter is now, and Taka you can be Mashire, and you see the Heter was originally 60-1, then in Ben Mino we count because there was originally 60-1 and still in the Kedera. And in Mishaino Mino, whatever's in the Kedera doesn't count, even though we know it was there. Okay. Halacha lemaisa, that is the two ways of reading the Pshara of the Rashba.
Why does the Rashba make a compromise if it didn't see the Rashba?
Well, it doesn't matter because you could, either way, you could pass on the Shabbasra, right? There's no different sheet than the Shabbasra. So the Rashba could be compromised between two understandings of the Shabbasra. Or, let's say a little better. I could be the Beis Yosef understood, even though they're very difficult. It could be the Beis Yosef would understood that, okay, here, it could be the Beis Yosef understood that the Yeshom or the Rashba was really not what I wrote. The Yeshom or the that the Lishnakama of the Yeshom was really because of Rashi's Kasha. It could be his understanding. Yeah, although it's Dachot, that the Yesh Omer and the Rashba with the Lishna Kama, according to the Yesh Omer and the Rashba, was the same Shita as the Lishna Basra according to Rashi. Okay. Lemaisa could be. Okay, fair enough. So then what I wrote, it's hard to express all the different understandings here. Lemaisa, none of this makes a difference for two reasons. What are the two reasons none of this makes a difference? We already know. Can we mishar by Debalik Deira? Now it gets very, very complicated. We're unsure. It's one Shita that says no. One sheet that says yes. We're not sure exactly what that meant. And we're not sure how we're passing Min Mishaino Mino and how we're passing Min Mino. Why does none of this make a difference? For two reasons. Number one, what does the Marshal say? What should the Marshal say? If Ramah didn't say it, then his contemporary should. We're not Bucky to know my Debala Kedera. So number one, we're not Bucky to know my Debala Kedera. That's the Marshal. Quoted in both the Shach and the Taz. Right? What does he say here? He says, says the Maharshal, Ein Laman al Shuras Adavar, V'lo Yadua Kam Bolak Deira, V'kam Yo Kilkul Mizeh. Nope, we don't know how to measure this. Okay, L'chatchila at least. Okay, it sounds like the Shasrad Shurim Trimekel. What's the even stronger reason why? There's no Nafkamina for us? Because Aleph Marshal on to Wikian. He doesn't use that wash, that's what it means. Hey, so what's the bigger reason? There's not enough meaning for us on my Diabolic today, right? Yes, because we make an Omid Yafet, our pots don't absorb practically anything. Their pots were made of Cheres. Cheres absorbs a ton. Right? Remember, Cheres absorbs a lot. Remember Cheres Hadriani? Someone remind me what Cheres Hadriani was. What? Exactly. What they would do, they'd soak wine in Cheres barrels. Then they would break the barrels into pieces, carry the piece with them because it's much easier to transport. When they got to where they were going, soak that piece of Cheres in water and it would turn into wine. That's mamish. It's mamish. A lot of blios in Cheres, right? That's serious blios, right? Our stainless steel pots, without getting into the whole dion of versus those who are very radical nowadays who want to say our pots are not blios, we don't want to keep anything it says in your data, versus the mainstream Orthodox opinion, which said, no, no. Our minute is still to be choshesh for blios, l'chumra. But nonetheless, if you make an omed yafeh, you're going to say how much was a stainless steel pot bolea? Nothing. You know, 0.00001. No one says not bolea anything. It's not like some fancy spatial material. It's just bolea something that needs so many zeros after the decimal point that you don't care. So that's the main reason not enough for us, because the omed yafeh, our pots are not olea anything significant. And therefore, this whole set of Shulchan Aruch is not really relevant for us. It's an interesting theoretical question, but it's not really relevant for us. No, because in the Marshaz day, they were olea a lot. Correct. Correct. Or maybe we are bucking, we just know the answer is nothing. Okay, so Lamaisa, it's not Lamaisa for us. Okay. Yes.
Can you explain the Metzias of 2.1 of Rashi Shita?
Yes.
For Rambam?
Yes, it's like this. You can count what's Nivla in the Kedera. That halachically counts, right? Even though it's Nivla in the Kedera, it's still halachically counts. Not such a crazy Shita, right? Why shouldn't it get? It's only Kedera. It's still participating in the transfer of taste in the stew. The problem is, how can you count the head of this nivel in the pot? Then you should also have to count the isra that's nivel in the pot, and then they'll cancel each other out. So if you think about it, just think about it. Let's say you have, 59, right? Not nivla. 59 versus 1. So now you're going to add the nivla. 159th is nivla, so add 1. Well, you also have to add 159th of this. And you know what you got to do? 60 versus 1 159th, which is exactly the same ratio we started with. So it doesn't help. That's the kasha that the Gemara asks, that the Rabbanan Tevei Rav Ashi asked, right? This is, Rashi quotes an Amud before the Gemara asks it. So the question is, how do you deal with this question? So the Rambam doesn't talk about this question. He ignores this question. We're not sure how he answers this question, but the Beis Yosef says the Rambam's makel anyway. How's the Rambam makel anyway? We're not sure, but the Rambam's makel anyway. I'm not sure what the Svarah the Rambam makel anyway is. Somehow he's a Svarah makel anyway. Nah, you can add 59 plus 1, even though it doesn't make sense. He must have a Svarah. Rashi says, of course no one can be makel like that. Of course you can't be makel like this. So what did the Gemara mean when it says you can be makel? The Gemara meant, let's see, right, which doesn't help. What did the Gemara meant? The Fi Rashi. It meant like this. 59 You know that the total Issa was 1. Why? Because you know it was 1 when it first fell in. You only see 59 of Heter now. You might think 59 to 1 is no problem. You have the Heter that's absorbed in the Kedera. Right? You have no idea how much Issa is left. No idea how much Issa is in the Kedera. You know how much Issa there is total. How? Because you looked an hour ago. You happen to have found that an hour ago. Right? You leave an ounce Chelev on your counter, someone pours it in the cholent. You don't know how much chilev is in the kedera, how much this, you know there's an ounce of kedera. You also know there's 59 ounces of heter now. But there's also lots of nivlim in the kedera, so there's 60 ounces of heter. That's the only case where you're making a according to Rashi.
You know there's one in the first one.
What?
You knew there was one initially.
Exactly. What do you this is right. This is what you know. Right? Let's say like this. Oh, sorry. No. And this is Omid Yafa. According to Rashi, you know this, and you know this. Oh, sorry. You know this, and you know this. And you make an Omid Yafa of this. That makes sense. According to the Rambam, the fee base Yosef. You know this, and you know this, and you make another only yuff of this. And somehow you get a kula, but we're not sure how that kula works. We have a big kash on it. But we know that's not true, because let's say I stop cooking Isra in a pot. I still need 60 connected whatever's nibble on the pot.
You didn't have 60 in your pot.
Isser is bottle in the pot itself? No, but we know that Isser is not bottle in a pot. Everyone, if you cook 1 ounce of milk in a pot, that counts as 1 ounce of leo, so we didn't ask how big the pot is. Unless the Rambam does me, you'd have to come up with an answer. Okay, anyway, in any case, if we have no other questions, we'll take one question from Yoni and go weiter. Yes. So you're a Kiva, you're a Rashba, which, again, I'm very partial to, is like this. Is that obviously what the Beis Yosef attributes to the Rambam is an impossible sheet to know what holds. Right? That's not a sheet of the Rashba would even be considering. What are the two sheets of the Rashba considering? Rashi Shita, and the Shita that fundamentally what's in the pot doesn't count towards the pitl. Right? Even if you know, even in this case, you know there's one in the pot, and you know it would help counter the bittul. But fundamentally, nothing counts with the bittul unless it's bad. Therefore, in Mimshay no Mino, even though we know it's in the pot, we don't count it toward the bittul because it's not bad. In Mimshay no Mino, we count it toward the bittul. While Noah Shapiro is right, that Mistamba, the Beis Yosef, understood the Isha Omer and the Rashba is really the same as Rashi somehow, even though it's Dach in the Lashon. Okay, whatever. I don't love that approach. You can defend it on your own time. Yes? Interesting question, right? You only asked $64,000 question. Let's just review. Who are the radical postkin? Who are willing to update the halacha to match, not chas v'shalom, not talking about people who are willing to update the halacha to match, modern, sensitivities and hashkafas. That's already, a philosophical issue. I'm talking about those who are willing to update the halacha to match modern day hard science, physics and chemistry, right? Such as, for example, Rabinovich Zatzal, Nachum Rabinovich Zatzal, Rosh Shiva of Malach Adumim, and Lahaltim and Chaim Chayim, Rav Melamed Shlita, author of Pnimi Halacha, the most popular halacha author, could even be in the world now, in Israel nowadays. He's reaching America also, I don't know. Most popular halacha author in Israel. I'm sure there are other people who get out to the list. I didn't mean to insult any radical rabbi who I didn't add to my list. Those are just the two who I'm most familiar with. And I've read, many of their svarim. So what do they say? They say that, look, all these bliyos are based on metzius. The metzius is that nowadays the amount that's nivlin are stainless steel pots. They're not necessarily talking about a wooden spoon, or some rare kinds of things. They're not even talking about plastic. They haven't measured the plastic. They're talking about metal pots and metal spoons, right, which are the most common things to be used nowadays, right?
And they ran the experiments. The guy named George Fixler, who I believe is a Talmud of Rav Nachum, who ran the experiments in a lab, etc. And he said that our stainless steel pots, the amount of taste they absorb is infinitesimal. Right? It's so small as to be insignificant. You can't say it's zero, because nothing's zero in real life science. Zero is only like high school physics. There are zeros, you know, when there's no friction, etc. In real science, everything's a little something, but it's so small as to be completely insignificant. You know, too many zeros after the decimal point. Therefore, nowadays, there's no bleos in anything, and no matter what you cook with or cut with any stainless steel kli, it's never a problem. Okay, lechatchila, the minhag is lahachmir, even they admit. That is one opinion. That is not the opinion of everyone else. Everyone else's opinion is, it's not clear why. They have the logical upper hand. Why are they the logical upper hand? It's all a matter of metzias. We're just trying to measure metzias, right? Either it tastes or it doesn't. And if it doesn't taste, it doesn't taste. Again, maybe someone else will do experiments someday with plastic, with other things. They're only talking about stainless steel. But that's ruba de ruba of our pots. Even if you say some of them are Teflon coated, how about the Teflon? Maybe that'll absorb more. So first of all, we'll do the experiments. Maybe it won't, but it doesn't matter. That's already discussed. We'll see it in the Pesach Tshuva, quotes from Achronim much later. That it's so small, so even about the Shishim won't make a difference in the end. Okay, that's one approach. That is not our minhag. Our minhag is to keep the halacha as it stands. Why is our minhag to keep the halacha as it stands? So Rav Shlomo Zalman said, it's been reported by multiple independent channels, that Rav Shlomo Zalman said that there are some halachos that you need the Sanhedrin, you need a Sanhedrin to overturn, even if there's a logical reason. Not sure what he meant by that. But it's hard to imagine that that's d'oraisa, right? It's hard to imagine d'oraisa something is treif when really there's no tam. You know, he must mean that once these were all formulated into halachos in the Shulchan Aruch, and he doesn't mean in the Shulchan Aruch, he means in the Gemara, which led to the Shulchan Aruch, then they became dinim, at least on the Rabbanan level, and therefore you need a Bez Din Gadol, you know, maybe not Gadol B'mid, Chochum B'minyan, but at least a Bez Din Gadol to uproot them. For whatever reason, he meant. So Pashtus is, let's say someone would cook in Treif Kalim or cook meat and milk in the same stainless steel pots. It's hard to say nowadays they're doing this or d'oraisa. Because the maisa, there's no taste. You know, the stamba, what they're doing is mutter, be'ikra din, according to Rav Melamed and Rav Rabinovich. And according to mainstream Orthodox rabbis, l'chor an iser d'rabanan, or violation of a minhag. Either it's a minhag das or even b'di'evit, or it's an iser d'rabanan, even b'di'evit, because it turned into iser d'rabanan once it got codified by thousands of years worth of poskim. Maybe that's where Shlomo Zalman meant. Anyway, it's a good question, but hard to say it's iser d'oraisa. Hard to say. Okay. Yeah, everyone's referring to old pots. Keep in mind, it's not just, let me add two caveats. First of all, I don't just mean only cheres. Only cheres is super duper duper bolea, but the old metals are also bolea. They weren't stainless steel. They were cast iron or whatever they were, or tin. They're also bolea. And let me add one more caveat. You should know that when I first learned Yoredeh, you could always say the old medieval Talmudic biblical times, and nowadays in our modern world. That was when I learned Yoredeh. I learned Yoredeh in the 90s. Now you have to say the old medieval Talmudic biblical times and the progressives nowadays versus most people nowadays. Because what's happening is every year in the progressive side of the community, they're doing things more and more like we did in medieval or Talmudic or biblical or prehistoric times. So that is something you have to take into account. Like, for example, this is true, Goyim, non-Goyim, etc. For example, once upon a time in America, you'd say there are no old devil desire, no worship idols. Nowadays, it's become cool to worship idols a little here and there. But more relevant to us, nowadays, I think there are many people into cast iron cookware. Cast iron cookware is bolea a ton. What do you do about the fact it's bolea a ton? So you seal it, right? To keep it from being bolea, and then it depends. Eventually, the seal wears off. You have to reseal it, etc., etc. Once you're dealing with cast iron cookware, which it depends. depends how well it's sealed, depends how long you've used it, has the seal worn off or not, but it's bolei a ton. I don't mean a ton as much as charis. But it's bolei a lot of taste. That's the whole point of sealing it, right? I don't know if anyone's holding these things. Once you have cast iron cookware, everything I said from Rabbi Menachem to Rabbi Lamed is not true. Then you're going to say, well, it all depends how well sealed it is. Is it this month? Is it next month? You know, how long have I been using it? How have I treated it? Already then, that's the classic Zeres Chazal, that since you don't know, we always have to assume that it's full of Leos because you don't know what shape it's in. So as we're moving back and becoming more and more, again, it's a funny thing about the, you know, those who are into very new things. They want to become less and less medieval in Hashkafa and more medieval in, like, you know, physical life and science. But as we move in that direction, so this is not necessarily true. I'm not made on cast iron. I never asked him. Yes, I'm cast iron. Oh, can I be made on my cast iron has no Bleos? What do you mean? Yesterday had Bleos, today it doesn't have Bleos, every day it's different, depends how well sealed it is. Of course you can't be made. That's ridiculous. He was talking about something that's mufka from Bleos. Something that's not mufka from Bleos is like medieval times. Yeah, sometimes only more, sometimes less, depends on the circumstances. That's exactly when we paskin Misharin Bekule, the Mighty Nach Mi Boyadina. Okay, so that's an important caveat. I'm not talking about cast iron. I'm talking about stainless steel. No. I just said that I wouldn't call it Nisu Doraisa. What? No. Because it's an Issur D'Rabbanan to treat our pots like the old pots. That's what I'm trying to say. It's a meta Issur D'Rabbanan, not a specific Issur D'Rabbanan. Okay. Let's go to Sif Hei. Okay. Sif Hei, really, we start the action. Eng Nevat L'Nissu L'Chathila. This is a very Nogel of all the rules of Bittul are only with the Eved. You're not allowed to, right? Remember, like, the, like, you know, high school kid who learned a little enough your day to be Mekalkel him, who knows all that Bittul Shishim, goes home and says, look, you can put a little milk in the cholent, it's no problem, but it's Shishim, etc. But that's only the Eved. Now, in Vatul Islach, Achila, Vafila Nafl Tochetu Shimu Shila Vatlu, in most Sivan of Hetu Gidei Levatlu. Even if it fell into an Isser, even if it fell into an Isser and didn't have enough shir levatel, you can't even add kidei levatlo, right? Even if a little lard fell into my vegetable soup, it's a 1-59 ratio, I can't add another ounce of vegetable soup. That's called bittul shir levatel. Not only that, the example in the Mishnah, in, I think, Arla, is that, let's say I have a davar chashiv. Remember I said a davar chashiv is not batel, it's yavish, biyavish, each one is intact. I have these very, very fancy, expensive nuts that get mixed in. And one of them is treif, so it's not batel. I can't even crack the nuts to make them not chashiv anymore, to make them batel. Once, I can't mix it to have to be batel it, and if it's already mixed, I can't change the mixtures to be batel it. Okay. Avar a bit low, shariba love in bishogi. Much of it remains in usul and batel atzmu shalom, chin mishus batel vish vilo. And if I do an Aveira, and I am a Vatalos L'Chachila, then it depends. If I did it B'Shogeg, this is Machlok Sanag, it's dealt with in the Fifth Paragraph of Gittin, other places. If I did it B'Shogeg, then it's fine. There's no Knas. I did it amazing. There's a Knas. It's Usher for the guy who's a Vatal if it belongs to him, and it's Usher for whoever he intended to be a Vatal for their benefit. And the Ramah, Vasur and L'Machro Gamkin, the Yisrael Achish, Lohihanim, Medir Shabitlo, and you can't even sell it to another Yid. What if I was a Vatal for myself? Then I get the Knas. Right? I can't eat it. I can't even sell it to another Jew, because then I'm being nana. As the Shach points out, what this means is I can't sell it to another Jew at the premium kosher price. I can sell it at the treif price, because then I'm not being nana. Right? So if it's things where kosher and treif cost the same, then I can sell them. I just can't sell them if it's things where kosher cost more, unless I sell it for the treif price, and I'm not nana. Well, the Shach called it mutter. For everyone else, it's mutter. Okay, let's analyze the Pachak first. What? No, if there's no difference in the price of the Shach explains, then the Ramah did not mean to answer that. let's say I'm a vatal treif amens to kosher amens, right? Let's say I'm a vatal treif amens to kosher amens. Then I can't sell them to a Jew. I'm a vatal treif amens to kosher amens, but they all cost the same anyway. Then I can't sell them to a Jew because I'm not benefiting. I'm getting the same amount of money as if I had left the treif and sold it to a guy. It only means I can't sell it to a Jew if I'm making money off my gettel. And then it's just common sense when I'm making money off my gettel when I'm not. You know, there's no fancy bonus. And the shach has to be right, because it just makes perfect sense. The point is I shouldn't benefit from my gettel, not by eating it and not by selling it. Okay. Let's take a few questions. Number one. How bad is the isser? How chomer is the isser of bittul isser l'chachila? That's a machlokas between. Says the Shach Sukkot Zayin, Kasvar Rashba v'haran d'haynu mid'rabbanan l'das Tosfos. For the Tosfos and isser rabbanan l'das harayvid, it's aser mid'araisa. Everyone agrees with the evidence that knas is only rabbanan. The question is the isser bittul isser l'chachila. If I would take an ounce of lard and pour it into a 60-ounce vegetable soup, have I done an Issa D'Oraisa or an Issa D'Rabbanan? That's my closing Tosos and the Ravid. And then he adds that the Ramah Mipano holds us D'Rabbanan. Okay, that's my closing Rishonim. It's not, there's no clear right or wrong here. There's no clear right or wrong here. However, it seems that the Maskana of the of the Achronim, even the Prima Gadim here, he seems to say, he understands that the Shach and the Prichadash think it's only Drabanan, even the Pritor thinks the Raisa, the Chachmas Adam, the others in the end says Drabanan. Simple Pshat is we Paskin that it's only Mr. Drabanan. Okay, not that it makes such a difference. Either way, we don't do it. But simple Pshat is that we Paskin like Tosos, that it's an Isser Drabanan. Okay, the Agam, what's the Ravid's Mokor? The Ravid does not have the upper hand here, because there's no Pasuk that says thou shalt not be Mevatel Isser L'Chachila. There's no Gemara explicitly that says there's a Darshan that you shouldn't be Mevatel Isser L'Chachila. What's the Mokor of the Ravid? The Mokor of the Ravid is from the Shach L'Tari in the Sugya of the El Nazir, right, where you cook the arm, the draw, which is usher for Yisraelim, together with the rest of it, which is usher for Yisraelim, says this is a chiddush you don't have in the whole Torah. Right? He says, what's the chiddush? The chiddush that you're about to lose the chatchila. So that shows that it's usher daraisa, because it's a chiddush that you're allowed to. However, the other Rishonim are docha. They say, no. It's a chiddush that you have to be about to lose the chatchila. The rest of the Torah, we never find you're commanded to be about to lose the chatchila. Okay, that's the question. What's the chiddush, right? What is the Kiddush of what we call Sroa B'Shema? One shot is Heter Levatel. Then that's the Ravid that Makar HaIsser Levatel Isser L'Chachila is Minatorah. We still don't know where it is Minatorah. He says, well, it must be Minatorah, because it's a chiddush that you're allowed to do it in Zorah B'Shela. However, says Tosos, no, it's only me, Rabbanan, you're not looking after us, L'Chachila. What's the chiddush Zorah B'Shela? Chiyov. Levata L'Issa L'Chachila. It's the only time in the Torah you're hiding from Levata L'Issa L'Chachila. That's weird. Why does Torah tell you Levata L'Issa L'Chachila? That's weird. But really, it's only Zerah Rabbanan. Anyone think of why the Rabbanan would be Gozer and after Levata L'Issa L'Chachila? Why would the Rabbanan not let you be Mevatel Isser L'Chachila? Sounds like a very efficient idea, right? Good way to save money. Why would the Rabbanan not let... Why would the Torah... You don't necessarily have to say why the Torah. The Torah is allowed to do whatever it wants. Doesn't need to... philosophically, for some reason, deep, whatever, high, whatever you want to call it. But we don't need to know the reason, right? Mid Rabbanan, they need to have a good, logical, common sense reason. Leon? Maybe you might mess up the calculation. That's what Yad Yehuda says here. Right? Says the Yad Yehuda right here. He says, Shema Yitte Bivitulo. If you're Mevatel Isser L'Chachila, you might mess up. You know, you're used to it. You're used to cutting corners. You're used to cutting it close. You want to be exactly 60. You want to be very efficient. You'll end up messing up. If it happens once in a blue moon by accident, and then it's a big deal, and you go and you check and you double check, you know, but if you make it everyday occurrence, you're going to mess up. Okay, anyone think of a different explanation, possibly? Yeah. What about Yerushalayim? Then it's just like, then you're making a joke out of Holy Surin, right? What do you mean making a joke out of Holy Surin? If the Torah denasserit, so that, let's say in a more practical way, Yoni. Shema Yavo Lizalzel Biggie Surim. If you can eat it whenever you want, just when Vatul Hatila, you won't take Yisurim seriously anymore. They'll become a joke to you, and it'll just lead to a weakening of your halacha commitment. So it'll all be a joke. You do see that sometimes. Often when we have these haramas and ways around halachas, then people start not keeping halacha at all because they just don't take it seriously anymore. Okay, we might see some nafkaminas between these reasons a little later. Oh, probably. Maybe next year by the time we get to them. But those are the two main theories. They're both right. You look at, they're not on the page of Shavarach. You look at the Yad Yehudi here in the base Meir, you get these two theories. Either Shemiyah Lazalzel, or because you might mess up the Vittel. Agav, how do we paskin? I think most Achronim paskin like Tosos. The Node Behuda here has a very sharp, the Pesach Chumah quotes Node Behuda has a very sharp Shara. What does he say? He says that there's a difference between bitl lach b'lach and bitl yovish b'yovish. The difference between, remember, what's bitl yovish b'yovish? You have, cherries, right? You have three cherries. One is treif and two are kosher, so it's bottle. Or whatever number you want, right? Bottle baruch. Versus lach b'lach. What's lach b'lach? You have a treif cherry, and the juice of the treif cherry gets squirted into your apple juice, which is less than a 60th its bottle. Says the Node Behuda, bitl lach b'lach is only nisr darbanan, but bitl yavish b'yavish is nisr daraisa. What's the logic of this Node Behuda? There are a lot of interesting shitas in the Achronim. Right? Interesting shitos in the Achronim. Although only one of the shita is fundamental, says the Node Behuda. He says, Yavish be Yavish is Asur Midaraisa, while Lach Balach is only Asur Midarabanan. Anyone want to tell me the Svara of this Node Behuda? This ties into a lot of Svaras that we'll see in the upcoming Simanim. What's the Svara? Why would it be that squeezing a 60th cherry juice into my vegetable soup is only Asur Midarabanan? Putting one treif cherry and jumbling it up with my kosher cherries is also daraisa. What? No, let's say they're both 60. Make a difference they're both 60. What's the difference? Exactly. In lach b'lach, when it's batal b'shishim, it really disappeared. As a matter of fact, there's a prisha and a pnei Yoshua and a lot of other achronim who say, you don't even need achri rab lahatos. When you have bitl lach b'lach b'shishim. Achrayim lahatul means there is an isser, but it's mutter because the rule of rove. When something's bitl b'shishim, let's say I squeeze the cherry juice into my vegetable soup. Can I see the cherry juice? No. Can I taste the cherry juice? No. What makes it exist? So this is a whole lumbus. There's a famous lumbus that will affect many things. Right? And it's found in many, I've grown in many different contexts. Says Yavish B'Yavish, this is an Isser, but it's Batal Baruch. When it comes to Lach B'Lach, yes, because there's 60. The Isser disappeared in Metzius. One is a Bittal Alpidin, the other is a Bittal Alpimetzius. Let me give you another example. If I have a piece of treif meat, and it's less than a 60, and it falls in my vegetable soup, it's less than all the taste goes in my vegetable soup, I take it out and throw it away. The taste is lach b'lach my vegetable soup. That's not bitl achri al mahatos. That's bitl mensius. There's nothing there. So if you can't taste it, it's gone. If it's not beended, you can't taste it, then it doesn't exist. If give me a minute. I have a little 1 ounce ball of chilaf. If I drop it into 100 ounces of vegetable soup and it melts, that's bitl b'mtzios, not bitl b'din. I can't see it. I can't smell it. I can't taste it. I can't touch it. What did I forget? I can't hear it. So it doesn't exist. If I take that 1 ounce bowl of chaylev and I put it on a table together with 2 ounce bowls of shuman, and I play the shell game, and I go like this, and I don't know which is which, the ounce of chaylev still exists. It's just bottle bedin because of acharav lahatos. Even if it would be 60, I mix that bowl of chaylev in with 100 bowls of shuman. It still exists b'mtzias. That's what he did. Taking advantage of bittul al bedin is an issur d'oraisa. Taking advantage of bittul b'mtzias, how could that be an issur d'oraisa? B'mtzias is gone. That's an issur d'rabbanan of gzeira. That is the known to be who does pshara quoted in here. I got there other psharas that other achronim come up with, but those are from left field. Meaning what they want to say is it could be that some bittul isal hachilas asur midaraisa, but for a different reason. Not because of bittul isal hachilas. So I'll just mention two of the most famous ones. The chamos das, right here, and the avne miluim in the shot. Right? So it's the Sivas. He says, macholos asuros are only asur abundi avatal, but isure hana'ar asur daraisa. Why? And here he says, because of a side problem, not because of bitulus and hachila. Let's think about this. Let's say something's asur b'hana'ah. What's asur b'hana'ah? Orla. Right? I take a orla orange and I squeeze it into my orange juice. And it's less than a 60th. What's the problem there? I've now been nana from the orla because it created more orange juice than there used to be. It's bottle. But I was nana from it, right? Because of a side assert. Nana mi menu bisha should be telo. So at the moment I mixed it with my food, I was nana from it. Because now I have more food. Let's say this. Bisha'a. Shehosifo letoch ma'acholo. When I add it to my food, I'm now nene because I get more food. My net worth has gone up. I used to have $10 worth of orange juice and an Orla orange. Now I have $10.15 worth of orange juice. I was nene. It's all water to drink now. It's not necessarily because of bitulus and achilus. It's because of a side problem of nene. Likewise, the Avnei Miluim says, this is a case of regular Isurim. Or let's say this. This is a case of Chulin. But in Truma V'Kachim, it's Asur D'Raisa. Why is Bithel Truma V'Kachim Asur D'Raisa? Because of Sai Isur. What Sai Isur? Anyone want to guess the sheet of the Truma of the Avnilum? What? Make him Kachim Chulin. Or, to say it a little simpler, destroying kachim. When I'm about to sell the guy, it's gone. You're not allowed to destroy kachim. Or truma. Right? That's called mishmeris trumosai. Right? Which also applies to kachim. Right? Mishmeris trumosai. Right? The most geschmack pshat. Answer the shas question later as to why the machaber was more machber about bittul ner chanukah than he is about bittul all other isurim, is, I'll be the Avnei Miluim, just say, according to the Balamor, ner chanukah has a din of hektish like the menorah in the mist in the Beis HaMikdash. If so, the ner chanukah is hektish, and hektish, bittul is chachil is more chomer because of Mishmeres Kremosai. Okay, that's the most geschmack answer to the famous question of the Achron that we'll come up a little later. Anyway, okay, these are some shittas of the Achronim again. The Raya holds the Raisa, Tulsa holds the Rabbanim, the Huda holds within Bittul alone. There's two kinds of Bittul. There's Bittul Alpidin and Bittul Bintzias. When you do Bittul Bintzias, that's only a square bottom. When you do Bittul Alpidin, that's taking advantage of the din the Torah didn't want you to take advantage of. That's also the Raisa. And then the Chavasdas and the Imam come up with Chavs that have to do with side Yisurim. Sometimes there's a side problem with Bittul Yisur HaChil, which is the Raisa, not the Etzer HaBittul. Okay, now, that is one issue. Next. Before we get to the Knas, let's talk about this famous Taz Sifkat Zion. This is a big deal, this Taz. This is a whole sugya in halacha, very nogia l'maisa nowadays. What's the chiddush of the Taz in Sifkat Zion? The chiddush of the Taz in Sifkat Zion is Simen Peidal Sifkat Gimel Mavur Dem Ein Kavan Asa Rakhla Dover Acher Gol Matak and Advash Mutter. If your kavan is for something else, meaning your kavan is not to eat the Isser, your kavan is for something else, then it's Mutter L'vakal Isser L'chakila. If your kavan is for something else, okay, what's the case there? First of all, the Rashba asked this question. He says, anyone know when you kasher a spoon? Say I'm kashering a spoon, right? A treif spoon. I dip it in the boiling water. What happens? All of the treif bleus in the spoon go into the water. Why don't they go back into the spoon and treif it up again? What? They're going to get cold. What? It's boiling water. Because the water, 60 times, is a vatel. There are two answers. One answer is because the spoon is einu ben yomo, so can't ask for anything. But that's not true in the Torah, because the Torah only commanded us to kasher kelim that were ben yomo. So, but the answer is because I use 60 times as much water. Every time I kasher kelim, I'm doing bitul es l'chachila, being the vatel the time of the spoon into the water. How's it look, you bitul es l'chachila? Must be, since I'm not trying to eat that treif, therefore that's not called bitul es l'chachila. Likewise, the case of Peidalid is very, very similar with the bees. When they got honey, they would take the honey out of the hive. Sometimes the honey would have bee legs stuck in it. How do you get the bee legs out of the honey? How do you get solids out of liquids? Not very efficient. You strain it. How do you strain? Says you only get strained honey. It's too thick. If you boil the honey, you can strain it. So you boil the honey and strain out the piece of the bees. The only problem is while you boiled the honey, the time of the bees went into the honey because you cooked it. It's okay. It was buffalo. That's a bit delicious of hachila. Again, very similar to the case of kashering, right? As I'm trying to kasher this, as I'm trying to get rid of the treif, I'm actually being vatal shape of hachila. How is all that mutter? Says the Taz. Because my intention, in the case of the bees, my intention was not to eat the taste of these bee pieces. That was just a secretional michale. It was an unintended side effect of when I'm actually trying to strain the honey. When I kasher my spoon, my intention is not to eat the taste that comes out of the spoon that's bottled in the water. I'm just trying to clean the spoon. It's just an unintended consequence. That I bit was l'chachila. Unintended consequences, no problem. That's the sheet of the Taz, but it's not only the Chaz. Basically, all the Echronim say this. The Shach says this is Simen Pei Dalet as well. I didn't bring my Simen Pei Dalet. I don't know if anyone's volume has Simen Pei Dalet in their volume. You want to look in the Shach Pei Dalet, you've got Lamed Ches. If it's not too long, read it to us. Because, let's say, when I kasher my spoon, what am I trying to do? Get the taste out of the spoon. I'm not trying to get it into the water, be bottled, and go back in the spoon. When I'm heating up my honey, I'm trying to strain the honey. I'm not trying to get the taste from the bee pieces into the honey. Lamed sifkat lamed ches and simen pei dalet in the shach. Is it long? So read it. Right. Okay. Right. Fine. So it's mutter. Okay. The Taz says it many, many places. Now, the Taz adds something, though. He says, this is only if EF Sherbet Nacher, if you don't have another option. If you have another option, then you can't say it's an unintended side effect. If you have another option and you choose to do the option of Bitalish Lachila, that's like doing it on purpose. Right, okay, this is sugya. Many, some of us may remember the Sefer Pesachim called the Efshar Lokamachabin, etc. You know, when you have two options, I choose the option with the side effect, then it's like I'm doing it on purpose. Okay, here we have really four opinions in the Achronim. Let's just make these four opinions in the Achronim. What about Bittul Isser Lechatchila? Kishaim Kavanoso Levatel. The most makel opinion is the Bach. The Bach's not on the page here. Anyone have a Kuf Lamed Zayin in their volume? I should really bring a full of your day here. Anyone's volume go up to Kuf Lamed Zayin? No. Okay.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, my
bad. Okay, you see this? The Taz of Cut and Bays? Kuf Lamed Zayin, Taz of Cut and Bays?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Does he quote a Bach?
Taz, Kuf Lamed Zayin, Bays.
Uh-huh.
Because you allow a few of the
shots. Mm. Uh-oh. I must have written down the wrong book. Okay. All right. You might have to take my word for it. We could. Okay. That's true. Okay, let's just take my word for it. For now, you can look it up later. I can give you the exact book, but I apologize. I just wrote down the works of Kut. Says the Bach. What? Oh, Sivkut and Dalit. Thank you. Yeah, what is it saying, Sivkut and Dalit? It's a long piece. Okay. Says the Bach, if your kavan is not to be mevatel its mutter, he doesn't make this condition that's only if EF Shrabinian Acher. He doesn't say only if EF Shrabinian Acher. He makes it a general heter. That's the Bach. Okay, says the Bach, mutter stam. Says the Taz, no, that's going too far. It's only mutter if it's EF Shrabinian Acher. Nah, you can't say it's mutter stam to unintentionally mevatelus nachilus. If you had another option, then that's not really unintentional. It's only mutter if you have no other option. What does it mean to have no other option? Like you're going to die? What does it mean to have no other option? If you look at the Piskei Tshuva, here he says, I bear hate of Shem Taz, the mutter being coming to Sadavki, the Efshur being Acher, who prima gun with war, the Afim Efshur, Rakshu, Tircha Nami Shari. That's before Shinabach in Simen Koflamet Ches and in other places. That Efshur means bleed Tircha. What was the example Koflamet Ches? You're sweeping out a wine press used by Goyim. And there's little pieces, you sweep it all out, but there's little pieces that get stuck in like the little holes in the stone, like you could take out one by one of grape seeds. It says you don't have to do that. Ah, oh, you can mevatel them in your kosher wine? It says it's the Efshur. Because it would be too hard to ask you about Triach, a big Tircha. Okay, so that's clearly the Shita of the Taz. Says. Oh. Or let's say like this, in EF Shrabinian Acher, believe Tircha. If you don't have another option that's convenient, that's not a Tircha, if the other option is a Tircha, then it's really not, you're not, you can't blame you for doing bitless. It's not a bitless Achil if you have two options, one of them is a big Tircha. That's the Taz. As the Prima Gadim says, right, Taz, Prima Gadim. However, yeah. So then it would make a lot of sense. But you could also say, even if they sound like Zera, but they weren't gozer, you know, hecha did, or interfere with your normal life. But right, it makes the most sense. I agree, based on the base mayor. Okay, but if you look at this Piskei Tshuva, what does he continue to say? He continues to say, I am a saver of base Yehuda. Shekasa v'alpizeh. Base Yehuda says what based on this? Now we get to Halacha L'maaseh. Malins. What are malins? Raspberries, no? No one speaks Yiddish here? No, but everyone ate them in Europe. In Europe, everyone ate them. Less than the public, but everyone ate them in Europe. Question is just how do we explain it? What? No. It's a raspberry. Again, if I'm wrong and it's one of the things that's like almost exactly the same as a raspberry, you'll forgive me, right? But these malins, these raspberries, they would make some sort of dip out of raspberries. It says you don't have to check if there's bugs. Why? What if there's bugs? The bugs will be Baltimore Shisha. Why do you have to check for bugs first? Because it's a tircha. It's Efshur to check for bugs. That's a big tircha. You don't have to be a shriach yourself to check for bugs. You don't have to be a shriach yourself to check for bugs. That's the Efshur Binyan Acher. If it's a big tircha, depends if it's a big tircha. If it's a small tircha, if it's no big deal to check for bugs, fine. But if it's hard to check for bugs, then just as long as it's bottle is fine, it's not considered bitulus lechachila, because you're not trying to eat the bugs. Bitulus lechachila is I want to eat the bugs. I don't want to eat the bugs. I don't want the bugs at all. Right? It's like the bugs that are stuck in the honey, etc. I don't want the bugs at all. It's a big tircha to check for bugs, and therefore I'm just going about my normal life. That's called lomachavim b'yefshar. However, in the, and then he calls me Yehuda about the hosenplasen. This is a big issue. I remember once in, they still do this, not in like normal beer, in, there's a fish bladder that is a clarifying agent. They use a fish bladder as a clarifying agent, meaning it clarifies the beer, like takes a sediment. And there was a big scandal maybe 20 years ago in England when the vegans discovered England's a much bigger deal than America. Because America, whatever, drink the Budweiser or whatever, I don't think they use fish bladders. But in England, they have their traditional ales in the pubs. It's like a big deal for them. And the vegans discovered they had fish bladder in it. And all of a sudden, the vegans were not relying on the Nodihuda for some reason. And they were more mocking the Nodihuda. All of a sudden, they had a problem with it. The companies all had to change and stop using. So now they stopped using fish bladders, not for the kashrus, because the vegans were up in arms. And the vegans weren't so much on the Nodihuda. What did the Nodihuda say? The Nodihuda says, some of the Gedolei Dor says, oh, sir, you let it soak for 24 hours. Kovash kama bushel, it's less than 60th. That's Gedolei Sachila. He said, no problem. Okay, you have to figure out why he said no problem. It's a good question. But part of the reason is because you don't want the taste of this fish bladder to be in your beer. You just want it to collect all these. I don't know how it works. Okay, beyond my science, I am a Nodihuda. Anyway, Kitzer. However, what does he quote? Go back to where he quotes from the Vesiud. He says the end of al ein divrei aprimigadim muchrachim. However, it could be the primigadim is wrong. It could be that maybe, as long as Efshar Beit Ninachir, so this is really, it's not such a strong shita. But, you know, the Beis Yehuda, he brought up at Sad, right? The Mutter, Rak, M.E. Efshar Klal Beit Ninachir. Okay, but that's a weak Sad, especially since it's against the Taz later on. I mean, he knows against the Taz later on, Hilchos Yayin Nesach. It's just, he's bringing up possibility. Okay, not such, you know, he's not sure about this kula. Okay, the big problem is the Shut Rabbi Akiva Eger. Says the Shut Rabbi Akiva Eger, if you want to look it up, it's a shame Rabbi Akiva Eger didn't write it in the Shulchan Aruch here. But the Shut Rabbi Akiva Eger, Siman Ayin Zayin. He pointed out that two of the three, the two classic Makoros, for this Taz and for this Chiddush, that it's Mutter Levatel Isur Lechatchila, Techa De In Kavanoso Levatel, are A, how can you kasher a spoon? You're being Levatel, taking the spoon in the water, which then goes back in your spoon, which goes back into your food. You're relying on Betel Lechatchila. B, how can you strain the honey? You're being Levatel, the taste from the bee pieces into the honey Lechatchila. The answer is you didn't intend to. Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, no, those two had something in common. Right? You could read this in the Lashon HaShach. HaShach go both ways. Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, what do those two have in common? You're dafka trying to remove Isser. And as a side effect of removing Isser, you're mixing in Isser. When you kasha the spoon, you're trying to get the trace taste out of the spoon. As a side effect of that, you're bringing a vatel in the water. When you boil your honey, you're trying to strain the bee pieces out of the honey. As a side effect, you're getting the taste of the bee into your honey. Maybe the whole heter was only when your kavana was to remove the Isser and as a side effect, it mixes in the Isser. But if your kavana is for something that has nothing with removing the Isser, maybe it's Asser. So he says, Asser, afilo em ein kavanoso levatel. Mutter rak em kavanoso lesaleka Isser. Meaning only in a weird case where you're trying to get rid of the Isser. And as part of getting rid of the Isser, you mix in a little of the Isser. That's the only time it's mutter. But not when you're just trying to do something stam. This is the big debate nowadays, how do we paskin? Right? This affects a lot of the bug sugyas, like we saw right here with the Beis Yehuda's raspberry sauce, whatever it was. Right? That's where it comes up a lot nowadays, the bug sugyas, right? This, you see all the chubas, all the kosher sagencies, etc. right? Hummus factory. Does the hummus factory have to check the chickpeas for bugs? Why? By the time it gets turned into hummus, all the bugs are bottled. Right? They're squished up and mixed in and bottled with shisha. Right? Let's assume that we're not dealing with a shash that's one of the 60th bugs in your chickpeas. That's like third world country. Does the hummus factory have to check the chickpeas for bugs? That'll triple the price of the hummus, right? It's a big enough camino. Right? Make it hard to compete with the other brands. Right? These are all big questions. And similarly, all these things. If I buy strawberries to make smoothies, right? Make smoothies out of strawberries, right? Do I have to buy bodega strawberries for the smoothies, right? What if there's bugs in the strawberries? Okay, they're bottled in the smoothies, right? They all get crushed up and bottled with shishim in the smoothies. So can I use regular strawberries for smoothies, et cetera, et cetera? You know, these questions come up all the time. That very much depends on this. That very much depends on this issue. Very much depends on whether you're choshesh for a biki ve'ekor or not. Whether you're choshesh for a biki ve'ekor or not. So l'chora, most achronim, it seems, hold like the Taz. This seems to be the Ikar Hadin. However, the Mahadran do not rely on this. The Mahadran Ashkach does not rely on this. They're choshesh for the Rabbi Kiva Eger. Right, all the Mahadran Ashkach are choshesh for Rabbi Kiva Eger. They only somech on the Taz if they have another tzeirith. Although we'll see, there's a big tzeirith here. What's the big tzeirith? Let's go to the big tzeirith for a moment. This, the Ikar Din, Rov Poskim seem to be like the Taz. But I've seen all the Kashrut agencies, the Kashrut agencies nowadays, I've seen are machmir for Rabbi Kiva Eger. He's big nafkamina, right? Can I just, you know, nafkamina is not just for hummus factories for me at home. I don't have a hummus factory, but can I puree, you know, all these things, or cook, or etc., in a way that will be better less for lechachila. Another classic example, right? If I have these soup greens, you know what soup greens are? Right? Let's say I have soup greens with bugs. Right? They're not bug-free. What do we, dill, parsley? What do we put for soup greens? Dill and parsley. Dill and parsley. I pick from my garden dill and parsley, could be full of bugs. So if I put in my soup, there'll be bugs in my soup. That's a problem. What did everyone say to do? Put in a cheesecloth in my soup, right? Because you don't eat the dill and parsley anyway, right? You want the taste into your soup, right? Most people don't eat it anyway. Put in a cheesecloth, cook in your soup, throw it out. The taste of the bugs even go into my soup. Yeah, the taste of my bugs in my soup is 1 in 100,000. Bitulis lechakila, right? Bitulis lechakila. It's for sure bottle. The bugs themselves are stuck in the cheesecloth. The taste is 1 in 100,000, 1 in 1,000,000 in my soup. So that's really the question of all these things. So the Mahadran are all machmer like Rabbi Kiva Eger. However, there's another factor involved here. Please look on your page at the Prima Gadim here. Says the Prima Gadim in the Sifsei Da'az Zayin. He says, one second, let me just find the right place. You see, in mine there are paragraphs. It's like the fourth paragraph, so it's Ayin B'Knesset HaGdola. Sifsei Da'az Zayin, Ayin B'Knesset HaGdola. It's about halfway through. Sifkat Zayin. Ayin B'Knesset HaGdola B'Avos HaTorah Os Yudvav HaDe'in M'Vadlam M'Vaday Yisr Lo B'Safik Yisr. It's only Os M'Vadol Vaday Yisr. Safik Yisr, you're allowed to be M'Vadol. Why are you allowed to be M'Vadol Safik Yisr? Maybe because, according to Tosa, only Darabana and Safik Darabana B'Kula. Maybe because it won't be Tzilzo if it's only a Safik Yisr. The Shachin of many places says, these aren't the only places, La Prisha, etc., Chumas Hadeshin, etc. Right? Many places says, you're allowed to move out to the Safik Yisr. The Prima Gadim, the Doch Gadol denies it. It says, Al Tita Lomer, Safik Yisr. Don't make a mistake and think there's really a Safik Yisr, an Yisr, the Raisi, the Ravatal, divided less, it can't be. And then he has an excuse why all these Shachs don't mean what they say to me. It's very Doch. Simple shot is, here we have, Bittel,
Suffolk Isser Lachatila. Says the Shach Mutter. Yes, if it's only Suffolk with an Isser in the first place, Mutter Bat Lachatila. Says the Prima Goddam tribe who goes for every Shach and tries to denies it, says Oscar. Halacha Lemaisa, the policy of most of the Mahadran Kashras is nowadays is that if you're Mitzarif the Taz and the Shach, then it is Mutter. Mahadran are Machmer. But unless, sorry, if it is Vaday Asur, but if it's only a Suffolk Isur, then they're Mitzarif the Shach. And rely on the Taz. That's what the Mahadran Hashgachah do nowadays. They're only making like two stubborn lahakel. If the Suffolk Isser and your Kavanah is not Levato. And therefore, what are most of the Mahadran Hashgachah, not everyone, again, in general speaking, what are, like Revaya will say sometimes? He'll say, well, don't, you know, buy these kind of fruits unless you're planning to, you're just buying them to puree them in a smoothie. Why? Because they're all Suffolk infested. Suffolk infested. If it's not your kavanah, the tutsdan lahakel is mako. That's why a lot of places they don't make the hummus factories check their chickpeas because the chickpeas are much less than a Suffolk or they're infested, and therefore it's only a chash, and which is even less than a Suffolk, and therefore bitzeruf the shach and the taz they are mako. And that's the minhag of the Mahadran Hechsherim. Nowadays, I mean, again, everyone has their own way of drawing the line, etc. But in general, the minhag of the Mahadran Hechsherim is that if it's a Suffolk infested. In the first place, and your intention is not to eat the Isser and the Mevatel, your intention is just to make a product out of a fruit, your intention is not to eat the bugs at all, they don't worry about Bittul Isser Lechatchila, which is why they let you buy strawberries, say, strawberries might be a Suffolk infested. Okay, meaning, if you hold that, might be Suffolk infested, but if you're putting them in smoothies, then according to the Shach, it's no problem, it's only Suffolk infested. According to the Taz, it's no problem, because Efshar Bli Tercha Binyan Acher, or maybe Efshar Binyan Acher, and therefore it is Mutter.
Why is the Tercha to buy Bordeaux strawberries?
That's an interesting question, because it's very expensive.
But then you're going, is that a Tercha Gadol, or I thought it was that's a big Tercha?
That's money also counts like a tercha. Right, that also might be a little different. Right now, I want to know if I can buy these strawberries. So the question is interesting. Do we call it another option if I could buy different strawberries in the first place? Each side, but I think an expense also counts like a tercha.
There's logic that it would be bigger because you can go back the way. Every time you get a bottle, trying to move an Isser.
No, I think his logic might make a lot of sense. If you say it's about Zilzal B'Yisurim, to stam say, I'm going to be Vatel, I'm going to have a side effect of Bittul Isser L'Chachilu because I want to make smoothies, or because I want to do this or want to do that, that's Zilzal B'Yisurim. To say, I'm davka trying to get rid of treif, and getting rid of treif, I end up getting stuck with Vatel a little bit, that's not Zilzal B'Yisurim, because I'm really trying to be against Yisurim. The big kasha against Rabbi Akiva Eger is, there's a Mishnah in Trumos which says that if I have a kind of a mixture of Truma and Kosher wheat, and it's not batel, but when I grind it, it will be batel, because one of them is better quality than the other, and it will be bigger when I grind it. Then, after I grind it, it's mutter. That sounds like I'm grinding it, I'm not trying to batel this, or then it becomes mutter. You know, that sounds like, even stam, if I'm just doing something innocent, it's okay to be batel as an achila. Okay, I'll have to figure out another answer to that. Yeah. I've seen some. Maybe I'll look cleaner for like the American Kashrut agencies they have. I haven't seen anything from the American Kashrut agencies. I saw from the OK wanted to say if they're only if it's impossible to check. That sounds more like that Beis Yehuda. That they heard from Shlomo Zalman, if it's impossible to check, it's okay to puree. But I've seen the seen other people be more makel. Okay, let me look for position papers. I've seen from some of these really bedatsim, but maybe not the ones everyone holds for. Okay. Let us move on. Yes, Yoni. What if it's only made on matzoi?
then maybe everyone would agree that there's no problem that the list of chilus only meet a matzoi. I haven't seen that. Although maybe we should, it would make sense of Shara. I haven't seen it. Yeah, it's a good question. Even if it was a 50-50. Yeah, the Shabbat said even 50-50, you're allowed to be batalist l'chachila. But not if it's 51% likely to be us. Right? Okay. So that's what I've seen from the agencies nowadays. But I'll look for a position paper, and I'll try to get one from the OU if I can. They must have one. No, my impression is that those who assume that strawberries are 50%, I mean, pastures, there are no more than 50%, is that then they are maple. That you can make purees out of strawberries because less than 50%. No, you have to be an expert to find bugs in strawberries, which is something we'll discuss a little later. This is all assuming that bugs you have to be an expert to find are usher. Right? If you don't make that assumption, then nothing's usher to start with. Right? We're all making the assumption that even bugs that can't be seen by an average person are still usher. Okay. Or maybe bugs that can't be found by an average person, Yeshlai and Harbe. Okay, we'll come back to that. That's gonna be the big issue. How come back in Europe everyone ate strawberries and raspberries and et cetera, even though there are remarkable on bugs and other types of food? Okay, we'll get to that. But let's get back to our simon for now. Knas. Okay, let's briefly discuss the knas. So they made a knas. If you do a mazid, they made a knas. What counts as mazid? What counts as suffik? What counts as mazid? What counts as a suffik? There's a fascinating machlokas in the Pesach Tshuva here. Sifkatan. Hey, what about Omer Mutter? I mean, there's two kinds of shogi. The shogi, I didn't know that I was doing it. And there's shogi that I thought it was okay. Obviously, it's our intuition that a shogi that I didn't know that I was doing it is less bad, less culpable than a shogi that I thought it was okay. Right? What do they say? Ignorance of the law is no excuse. I think that's what they say in America. Right? So that's the question. Is ignorance of the law of the law an excuse? Or is it no excuse? What about Omer Mutter? Is Omer Mutter shogeg? Or is Omer Mutter mazid? So, that's a big discussion in the, it starts in the Taz. Says the Taz, Sifkat Yud, no, says the Taz, Sifkat Tes, he brings a machlokas about this, and he says that the Maharshal thinks that Omer Mutter is called Mazed, and he thinks it's called shogeg. In the Nekudas HaKesef, he agrees that it's called shogeg. In the Pesach Tshuva, he brings later on about the big machlokas. He quotes a Tzemach Tzedek and a Beis Yaakov, who both say that it's called mazid. They only argue, what if you ask someone who wasn't a rabbi? Like, does that count as shogeg or mazid? Maybe even that's mazid, because what do you mean? What good does it do to ask someone who's not a rabbi? Lemaisa, there's a big machlokas. The Marshal, the Tzemach Tzedek, the Beis Yaakov say it's mazid. The Taz, the Nekudas HaKesef here, and they quote lots of other people say that it is a shogeg. He quotes here in the Chacham Sofer that it's a shogeg. Halacha lemaisa, the Hachra, the Mishnah Brura, and Tzemishin Yud Ches of Katan Vav, where it's also very similar, right? Rosh Shabbos, shogeg and mazid in terms of kas, is that Omer Mutter is shogeg, and the proofs that Taz, the Nekudas HaKesef brings are from general shas. In general, Shas, Omer Mutter is definitely called Shogeg, right? Meaning, if you learn Shas, right, you know, Shogeg Mazid by Korbanos, by other things, we always call Omer Mutter Shogeg. They were good to you from Marik, we're good to you from Tosos, but, you know, in general, in Shas, we know that Omer Mutter is called Shogeg. The only tricky part, anyone know what parak in Shas, there's some suffix whether Omer Mutter is Shogeg or Mazid? Very good. right? The second pair of Makos in Elohina Golin. If I think it's Mutter, I mean, the case is not actually this. It's funny why they quote him or Mutter, but let's say if I think it's Mutter to kill someone, I kill them, etc., even though really it's more complicated than that, in that case, there's some discussion. Okay, but that's different because all the Rishon, the second pair of Makos say, the chiluk there isn't really between Shogeg and Mazed, between a Shogeg and a Shogeg and a Carl of the Mazed, you know. So, again, the Marshal said we rely on Elohim Alokin, where there's a Machlokis, a Bayin Rabba, if I'm not mistaken, about Omer Mutter. Is it a Bayin Rabba? Whoever it is there, second pair of Makos, about Omer Mutter. But the simple pshat is all over Shas. If I think it's Mutter just thing on Shabbos, and I do it, now I think it's Wednesday. I don't know Halacha Shabbos properly. I never learned Halacha Shabbos. That's called a Shogeg. Right, if I think it's mutter to eat chaylev, that's called a shogig, et cetera, et cetera. Certainly Sanhedrin, if I think it's mutter to do something, and I do it, I don't get a malchus, I don't get misa, et cetera. That's the simple shot, all over shas. So, le'inyan knas, le'inyan, all over shas, omer mutter is called a shogig. How about le'inyan knas? So, that's a bit of a machlokes. How about omer mutter, le'inyan knas? Maybe by Knas we're more Machmer, so the Maharshal and the Tzemach Tzedek, not the Lavan Tzemach Tzedek, so it's sort of the early Yaakov Tzemach Tzedek, and the Beis Yaakov all say it's like a Mazed, and the Taz, and the Shach in the Nekruz HaKesef here, it's not the Shach in the Nekruz HaKesef, the Chassam Sofer, in the Pesach Tshuva say that it's like a Shogeg, and the Mishnah Berurah, Haskins, seems pretty clear that it's like a shogeg. He says if you're a ta'abedin, then that is a shogeg. The Magna Rabba is not so clear. Lemaisa, we assume it's a shogeg. Okay. Now, here's the interesting question about the knas. The knas is on two people. It's on the person who did it, if it belongs to him. Right? Why? Because if it belongs to him, we assume that a main benefit would be for himself. That if it belongs to him, if he did it himself, then he has an incentive to do the wrong thing and he didn't learn his lesson. If it doesn't belong to him, then who cares if he's allowed to eat it? Like that was never the plan. And Mishin Espatel B'Shvilo. There's a lot of lumdus about Mishin Espatel B'Shvilo. Can anyone tell me? Let me get this board. Akira. What's the famous Akira of Mishin Espatel B'Shvilo? I'm Mevatel Estel Chachila for Yoni Kram. Now Yoni can't eat it. Who is that a knas on? Is that a knas on Yoni or a knas on me? Is that a knas on Yoni or a knas on me? That's a good Chakira, no? Nirlani is daiti that this Chakira is 2 days in the Beis Yosef. Because the Beis Yosef asked the following question. He asked, why do you need a knas if I'm about to for Yoni? To make sure I'm not about to for Yoni dead, right? Anyone learn Bavansiya? Beginning, Daf Hey? Do we really have to worry I'll be about to for Yoni again? Sin make a knas on me. They also make a knas on Yoni. I can't eat it and neither can Yoni. So I won't be about to for me and I won't be about to for him. Do we need a knas so that I won't be about to for him? Bavansiya Daf Hey? Ain't on him chote v'lo. Why would I ever be mevatel for Yoni? Why do we need a knas? I sin for myself. Why would I ever sin for Yoni? He says he has two answers. I forget the order of his two answers. One answer is, the Shach quotes, in Sivkat and Yud Beis, he says, Sivkat and Yud Aleph, I meant, Chayshinan debo asinu l'goyo evich medlenu. If we let Yoni eat on his mevatel for him, next time, he won't ask me, because I'll say, I'm not sinning again for you. You know, I sinned. Chazal didn't let me eat it or him eat it. Say, I'm not sinning again for you. But, so we'll ask a guy to do it for him, or we'll ask an Eved to do it for him. Again, Eved is high mitzvahs, but we don't really know this. Right? So who's the knas on, me or Yoni? If the chash is that, next time he'll tell the guy to do it. Knas on Yoni. The second answer is that, no, Adam Chote Velolo, a person would do a small aver for his friend. And therefore, if I can vatel and Yoni eats it, I'll mevatel it again. It's more like knas on me. So it's worth it for me to do a small aver. I wouldn't steal for you. I wouldn't be a chal Shabbos for you. But a small thing like bitel eslachachila I would do for you. Sounds like the knas on me. So here he gets Lachbar, right?
knas al mi shenis batel bishvilo. Who is the knas? Knas on the mevatel, or knas on mi shenis batel bishvilo? What's the nafkamina? Is that a question of the Beis Yosef from Ein Adam Chote the Lolo? One answer is that Chayshinan Shema Mi Shenisbatel Bishvilo Yomar Legoi Levatel. Clearly the knas on Yoni. If I let Yoni benefit from my bittel, Chazal let Yoni benefit from my bittel, next time, Haleska Goy to Mivatel. He'll get used to asking people to Mivatel. Or no. Chayshinan Shema Amavatel Yevatel. Shug Vishug. Because it's an Isser Kal, of course, is the discussion of the task. It's Yossi. What if I would Mivatel be Mazed for Yomi, but Yoni had no idea, and he's horrified by the thought. I'm the vatel shlachila for Yoni. The Yoni's very upset about it and doesn't want it to happen at all. What if I'm mazed, but Yoni's shogig? What if the mevatel is mazed, but Misha is vatel b'shvilo lo yada v'lo nichale? Or, no, Yoni's upset about it. Says the Tani didn't want me to do it. That makes a lot of sense. That's clearly saying this. Israel or Bishvil, the public, right? The rock. A guy was mevatel for Yisrael.
A guy is a business Manhattan. He's mevatel for Manhattan. He's Jewish customers. He's mevatel for the Jews. The guy is mevatel by mazed, not by accident. The guy is mevatel for the Jews. Should there be a knas or not? What would you say, Isaac? If the knas is on the mevatel for doing the Yisrael, should there be a knas on this guy? No, he didn't do any Yisrael. Goyim were allowed to do what they want. I'm not going to tell him, chas v'shalom. Right? So it should be mutter. But if the knas is mevatel for Felix, he might tell a guy to do it. Then a vada should be a knas. That's all point. The guy's doing it for me. I might tell him to do it next time. I'll say, oh, do some more. You know, so the chord should be usher. This is a machlokas, not on the page here, but if you look on the, I'm going to give you the course now. I'm not going to read inside. In the but I'll tell you where to find it on your pages. In the Prima Gadim, in the Sifse Das, 103.14, Kof Gimel, some cutting your Dalit at the end. He quotes a Maran Lublin, who says, no problem. You know what the case of Maran Lublin was? There was a guy who had a farm, and he had one or two treif cows. And he mixed all the milk together, and the treif milk was about to be shishim, and sold it under hashgacha to the Jews. They asked the Maran Lublin, can we give this guy hashgacha? He's mixing in treif less than a 60th with kosher. Maran Lublin said, sure, he's a guy. He's allowed to do what he wants. Not our fault. He said, it's mutter. Likewise, there are advaz paskins that way. Likewise, the Igris Moshe paskins that way. Where's the Igros Moshe? Chelik Beis, Simon Mem Aleph. Where is this? It's quoted in many places, including the Prima Gadim,
in the Sifsei Das, Kof Gimel, Yud Ches. However, not everyone agrees. Some people apply the Isser even to a guy. The Shut Rashbash applies it even to a guy. And likewise, Levushei Srad. Shut Rashbash. That's the son of the Tashbix. And the Levushei Srad. The Levushei Srad is on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch. Or he's quoting the Pesachei Tshuva. If you, yours goes to Kof Chav Beis, and Kof Chav Beis, Sivkat and Hain, the Pesachei Tshuva, he quotes the Levushei Srad.
That it is Usher. Okay, so these should be enough doing is this Hakira. What do I think should come out of this Hakira? That, let's say a guy does Bittul Ishul Hakila, but the Jew is not happy about it and doesn't want him to do it, etc. Right? The Jew is not happy about it, doesn't want him to do it, etc. Then it should for sure be mutter. Because if you say, because we might have shot, if the Isser is on Misha is batel b'shvilo, then since I didn't want to do it, I wasn't the basis, there should be no knas. If the Isser is on Misha Bitel, since he's a guy, the in their volume, can you read it to me and then we'll end? Yeah. Hakuti. He's Masopic, but he also. Right? He wants to be Macher even if Hakuti does it. And even, says Kolshkin, even the Jew doesn't know the Kuti does, he wants to be Masopic, it's also. So I think Abilam is a difficult issue to have. Question is, how do we pass in this case? What if a guy does it for the Jew? Very common. A Goyish company. Not a Jewish company, Goyish company, does a bitl esul hachila. They have a little trafe ingredient. Do we say, like Maram Lublin, that it's no problem because there's no knas on the guy? Or do we say that there is a knas even if a guy does it? What? Aha, so good question. So what do we say in this case? So here it is a machlokes. Let me hold the thought. Some poskim say that if the Jew mamish knows nothing about it, then they're not willing to be. But some posts can say, interesting, if you combine these two, what does some posts can say? That if Goy is mevatel with a hashgacha, it's aser. Without a hashgacha, it's mutter. Right? If the guy is mevatel with Ashkach, it's Aser. Why? Because we don't want to go so far as to combine these two sides of that Jew. Take this side up here. The answer is about it. With Ashkach, that means the Jew knows about it. What do you mean the Jew? The OU. The OU is the Shliach of every single Jew in America, right? Our Shliach knows about it and is happy with that and worked out a deal that that's okay. And gave their approval of it. With Ashkach, it's Aser for a guy to be mevatel. Because then I might come to tell the guy to be vatal without Ashkachat Mutter. So paradoxically, according to some poskim, it's a trivia question. What exact same product with an OU would be trafe, without an OU would be kosher? The answer is the guy is vatal is a chachila. And without an OU is kosher, because the guy is doing it and I'm not nichalei. I told him you don't get Ashkacha. With an OU, when it's nichalei for the Jew, then it would be usher. However, that is not how we poskim, says Rav Moshe. We hope like Rav Moshe, which is almost the same, says Rav Moshe, mutter, even with the hashgacha, which is the case of Maharam Lublin. He said even with hashgacha is mutter. His case was they were giving hashgacha, naming Chol of Yisrael on the farm. It was just hashgacha, but halacha l'maisa, and l'maisa. Okay, I don't know why in days of Maariv Lin it wasn't Bechor. Maybe it was in the days of Maariv Lin. They didn't have a choice, whatever. Says Rav Moshe, it's mutter even with Ashkacha. There's no gzeir of the goy's mevatel. Apparently, Rav Moshe takes the top side of the Chakira. Right? However, it's still Mechor. It's not proper. It looks bad. It's pasnish to give Ashkacha. Therefore, you shouldn't give Ashkacha. Halacha l'maisa, everyone agrees nowadays, you can't give Ashkacha if they're mevatel or shalach achila. Even if they're goyim,
just for Moshold, it would be Motigash Nachman just for when you shut it, and some of us can say no. It once that you know it's a bad thing, everyone agrees, don't give ashtacha. Ashtacha, like my round blip, just and they say no, they say like the Levushe Shrad, not like the Levushe Shrad. Maybe even the Jew doesn't know, but at least the Jew does know that the Asher Midin if he gave Hashgacha, and then you would get the kosher. Very, very fascinating. But Rav Moshe doesn't pass in that way. He ruins the great, clever trivia question. Okay, we'll have to pick up with the end of this.